Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. 2 weeks till Pesach. Not to stress you out, but if you haven't started cleaning yet, get busy. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. We have a double parsha this week, plus it's Shabbos Mevarchim, the Shabbos right before the month of Nisan, the month of miracles, and the holiday of Passover. Finally, we also read a very special maftir for Shabbos HaKodesh. Wow, strap yourself in. This is a very exciting Shabbat in the Berg, and the staff of the J.E. are right there with you every step of the way. The Parsha Zarveyaka Pekudei. First, Moses reminds the people to observe the Shabbos, then tells them to build the Mishkan, and an accounting is made of all the gold, silver, and copper donations. Then the priestly garments are made by the artisans, led by Bezalel. With the Mishkan completed, Moshe himself erects it and anoints it with oil. He then installs Aharon and his sons as the priests in charge, and finally, the divine cloud comes to rest on the Mishkan, signifying God's presence dwelling within. And speaking of presence, our staff is present and ready with the best in educational Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Devorah DeLynn. So sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Special guest today is Executive Director Irv Hackel from Ezer Mitzion, a group in Israel doing tremendous work with children and older adults. He'll explain the scope of that tremendous mission straight ahead. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and Mazel Tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in the half hour. And don't forget to take time now to support Jewish Radio in Pittsburgh. Please sponsor your favorite segment each week. You can send an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net, or you can call us at 412-979-5770, and we'll let you in on all the details. If you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in our exciting endeavor with you. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo. Community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular Feminine Perspective is now sponsored by Lens Landscaping. Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is still available for sponsorship, so give us a call right now and reserve your spot. Rabbi Goldwasser's popular story segment is sponsored by Rolodin. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. Our entire staff does work hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we do rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishi, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free. You call us at 412-979-5770 or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 7:09 p.m., so relax. Enjoy the show. You got plenty of time. Isn't that right, Moish?
Well, thank you, Hirsch, and we're back at it. We're back at it here at the J.E., and you know why we're back at it? Because we love doing this. We just love doing these musical cuts and musical selections and running this J.E. program for you guys out there. And you love it, too, because you're addicted. You wait patiently on that radio. 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon, it's 3 o'clock, and there it is, the J.E. Nothing like it. So, having said that, let's get you started. And in the mood for another Shabbos, his brand new Gershon Varoba, and this one's entitled Mi She'asa. You're tuned in and good to go on the J.E.
They go all the same, they go all the same, they have them, they made us. Isha, son, he sing, my son, he sing, love us, they knew. They go all the same, they go all the same, they have them, they made us. Isha, son, he sing, my son, he sing, love us, they knew. They go all the same, they go all the same, they have them, they made us. Isha, son, he sing, my son, he sing, love us, they knew. They go all the same, they go all the same, they have them, they made us. Galitzan, the whom you galitzan, the
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refuah Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In the listing of the four sons in the Haggadah, the wise son, the Chacham, is mentioned first, and the wicked son, the Rasha, is mentioned second. The question is, why did the Baal Haggadah put the sons in this order? This is not the order as they are found in the Torah, where the wicked son is mentioned first, and the wise son is mentioned last, the fourth son. It is also not the order of their merit, because then the wise son should be mentioned first, and the wicked son should be mentioned last. Why then does the Tanna put the wise son and then the wicked son? A similar question can be asked. The Arizal tells us that the four cups of wine correspond to the four sons. Thus, the first cup of wine corresponds to the Chacham. The second cup of wine corresponds to the Rasha. It is most amazing that it is the second cup of wine, the one that corresponds to the Rasha, to the wicked son, is the cup that stays on the table during the entire time when we are reciting Maggid, the most important part of the Seder, when we tell over the miracles how we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. Why then is it specifically the Rosh's cup that remains on the table? The answer is, we see from here the obligation the Torah puts upon each one of us to try to speak to the Rosha, to try to imbue the Rosha with a sense of godliness, because the Rosha also has a chelek elokam mimal mamush. He also has a part of Hashem inside of him. It is only necessary to reveal his neshama, and he also will become completely observant. This is also the reason his cup remains on the table the entire time that we recite the Maggid, and it is also the reason why he is put next to the Chochem, the wise son, because the wise son has an obligation to be not satisfied with his own achievements, but to try and help the Rosha as well.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for The Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort, and did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Jewish community life in Germany during the Middle Ages. Jews did not live in officially sanctioned ghettos, but lived instead primarily in their own quarter of major towns. In Frankfurt, Germany, for example, the Jewish section was known as the Judengasse, while in England there was a Little Jewry Lane in Oxford and a Jewbury district in York. At that time, Jews were in constant daily contact with their Gentile neighbors, interacting with the nobility, burghers, merchants, and peasants. The Jews hired Gentiles for all sorts of labor, both skilled and unskilled, and also purchased goods from Gentiles that the Jews themselves did not produce, such as wood, bricks, paints, and flour. When fire threatened a town, a frequent occurrence in those days, Jews and non-Jews banded together to extinguish it, even on the Sabbath if necessary. And all, despite the lack of relationships between German Jews and non-Jews on the social and intellectual levels, there was considerable interaction between them economically. A specially appointed government judge, known as the Judge of the Jews, handled legal disputes between Jews and non-Jews. At times, there was even a mixed court, consisting of two Jews appointed by the community and two non-Jews appointed by the town council. Toward the end of the 15th century, regular municipal courts assumed this function. Jewish community life in Spain. During the Golden Age of Spain and the earlier part of subsequent Christian rule, Spanish Jews enjoyed greater freedoms than the Jews anywhere else in the world. Indeed, along with Christians and Muslims, the Spanish Jews were recognized as belonging to a separate and distinct religious and national group whom it suited the monarchs to treat favorably. On the whole, Jews were free to trade or engage in such crafts or professions as they chose, while money lending was never regarded as a typically Jewish occupation. In Spain, then, the Jews were weavers, tailors, furriers, blacksmiths, saddlers, potters, boilermakers, merchants, and shopkeepers. As there were no restrictions on Jews owning land, they cultivated fields and vineyards. Jewish artisans produced elegant filigree silver. On El Medio Street in Zaragoza, the Jews crafted leather shoes that were renowned throughout Spain. Jews were also famed artists who produced stunning illuminated manuscripts, such as Passover Haggadahs, which possess great value today. The Aljamas, Jewish communities, possessed extensive powers of self-government. In some communities, there were officers whose job it was to watch for and apprehend individuals found violating halacha. The Jewish courts were empowered to impose bans of excommunication, corporal punishment, and in some cases the death penalty, which was usually carried out by the king. Disputes between Jews and non-Jews were handled fairly by courts composed of representatives of both faiths. In all, although there was discrimination from time to time, Jewish life in Spain during this period was generally peaceful and prosperous. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
Okay, this next selection is dedicated to a dedicated listener. James Sofer is his name, and I'm sure he's listening in right now. So James, this one is for you. It's Mordechai ben David, and this one is entitled Asid. Enjoy.
Be he or she be name, be God, be she. Be God, be God. gan meide Uit mir a kudus boch in lat is moch oi lat a dike Ve hi oi shei ve neem ve gan meide Uit mir a kudus boch in lat is moch oi lat a dike Ve hi oi shei ve neem ve gan meide Uit mir a kudus boch in lat is moch oi lat a dike Ve hi oi shei ve neem ve gan meide
with Moshe Bakar on a Friday afternoon on the J.E. This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
The announcement of the new PLO unity government presented to the PLO's Legislative Council on Saturday has spawned a number of reactions. Many around the world expressing optimism over the people chosen to serve in the cabinet, but problems are posed by the new government's policy platform, which is viewed as bringing so-called moderate PLO chairman Mahmoud Abbas around to the view of Hamas, which holds the majority of seats in the cabinet and insists on what it calls the legitimacy of armed resistance to Israel in contradiction to demands of the international community. The platform states that its policies, quoting now, reflect the devotion and loyalty to the long process of martyrs and the pains of the prisoners and injured, mainly the major martyrs, the late President Yasser Arafat and Sheikh Imam Ahmed Yassin. In response, Minister of Strategic Affairs Avigdor Lieberman said that Israel must form a national emergency government of all Zionist parties and that he would advance the move at the next Knesset session. Lieberman's reaction seen by some as a backhanded call to replace Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, who vowed to stay in office during a speech to the council of his Kadima party on Thursday night. The speech in response to low numbers in the polls and allegations of wrongdoings that have led to speculation that Olmert is on his way out. The Likud's Yisrael Katz announcing after the speech that he would introduce a bill to dissolve the Knesset. Quoting Katz, his speech proved that Olmert has lost control. There's no choice other than to call new elections. Other opposition leaders calling on Olmert to resign, if not engage in introspection. Kadima leaders close to the Prime Minister sharply criticizing Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni for not joining other party Knesset members who stated support for Olmert after his speech. Instead, the Foreign Minister, who is considered the most likely person to succeed Prime Minister Olmert if the government fails, restricted her remarks to calls for party unity. The British newspaper The Guardian reporting internal disagreement among high-level officials in Germany and Britain on how to deal with the new Fatah-Hamas coalition. One European diplomat telling the newspaper, the Foreign Office is arguing with Downing Street, the State Department with the National Security Council, and the German Chancellery with the German Foreign Ministry. At the midweek announcement of the new cabinet, the PLO party said they would work toward the release of Israeli Army Corporal Gilad Shalit, kidnapped by Hamas allies at the end of last June. The Al Jazeera News Service says a deal to free Shalit will be completed this coming week. The Turkle Commission on Senior Government Appointments expected to decide this coming week whether or not to approve Prison Service Chief Yakov Ganot as the new chief of police, following testimony late this past week from Ganot and senior security officials. Ganot has been nominated to replace Moshe Karadi, who resigned in the wake of criticism from the Zyla Commission investigating the police department's handling of an investigation of an underworld family. The Army said it will investigate reports that soldiers used civilians as shields in an anti-terrorist operation in Shchem 2 weeks ago. 9 terrorists were arrested, 1 was killed, and explosives laboratories were discovered. Arabs in the city have claimed that soldiers threatened civilians, and an Associated Press video shows an Arab and armed soldiers together in a search for terrorists. The Army says it has done everything in order not to hurt innocent residents. Turkish inspectors coming this week to look at Israeli repairs to a footbridge from the Western Wall Plaza to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, which Muslims are claiming posed a danger to mosques on the mount. A visit by the United Nations giving a clean bill of health to the archaeological work preceding the repairs, but calling for them to be suspended. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has requested to address the UN Security Council this coming week when it discusses a proposal to place tighter sanctions against the Islamic Republic for refusing to stop its uranium enrichment plans. Ahmadinejad has called the Security Council an illegitimate body, and acting U.S. Ambassador Alejandro Wolf says, "I find it ironic that a president who was quoted today saying that he tears up Security Council resolutions and has no respect for what the Council does is interested in coming and speaking to the Council." The Besheva Weekly's Jerusalem Conference starting on Monday. For details, listen to Yehuda Oliva with Alex Treyman on demand on the Internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat Kaf Zion of the 27th of Adar on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast: partly cloudy and cooler than usual with occasional showers from the northern border to the northern Negev and snow on Mount Hermon Friday. On Shabbat, the rain getting stronger with isolated thunderstorms over the north and light snow over Mount Hermon before ending Saturday night. Warmer and clearer Sunday and Monday. In Jerusalem and the Golan Heights on Friday, 7 degrees centigrade, 45 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 22 degrees centigrade, 72 Fahrenheit. The Dead Sea, 21 degrees centigrade, 70 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Enjoy that music, because Sphere is coming right around the corner. We'll be back to that beautiful other type of music we'll be listening to for the next 7 weeks. Anyway, we have Mazel Tov for you on a Friday afternoon, 2 weeks before Pesach. Rabbi and Mrs. Yisrael Altein on the engagement of his great-grandson in New York. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. With the winter behind us, it's time to get your kids, age 3 to 11, registered in Camp Gan Yisrael for a summer of a lifetime. Camp runs from July 9 to August 17th at the Yeshiva Boys and Girls School buildings, with swimming and trips off of the campus as well. For more information, visit cgipittsburgh.com or call Rabbi Shmuley Rothman at 412-715-4883, 412-715-4883. And that's Rabbi Shmuley and Chani Rothman, directors of Camp Gan Yisrael. The Mooning of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening, 7-8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating or their weight. And it's been a very successful program. So if you need more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. Like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us, 412-979-5770, or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, no later than 7:09 p.m. And we'd like to welcome to the microphone today Irv Hackel, who's the executive director of Ezer Mitzion, which is the largest nonprofit, as I understand it, in Israel. Irv, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Now, Ezer Mitzion, before we get started, our audience is primarily Jewish. We do have some non-Jews. And, of course, that's a Hebrew name. And for those who don't know Hebrew, what exactly does it mean?
Well, Ezer Mitzion means help from Zion.
Uh-huh.
As there, Ezer Mitzion is based in Israel, which is why we have a Hebrew name in the organization.
Okay. It's been around how long?
The organization was founded in 1979.
Okay.
And we started out with a Rabbi Charlock, who was the founder of our organization.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the hospital with his father-in-law. He was just married. And there was just... he was spending long hours in the hospital with his and his wife and himself. They didn't have anybody to help him. They help each other to take care of the father. They split up, and you know, the first year of marriage is really a hard time to be separated from each other.
Sure.
And they decided to help their father-in-law. And then what happened was, while the Rabbi Charlock was in the hospital, he saw that there were people that were coming back and forth from dialysis, and from the dialysis, each time they had to come with an ambulance, it cost about that time about 150 lira,
mm-hmm.
and before they changed into shekels.
Shekels, right.
And it was a tremendous amount, a tremendous burden for people. So he, being the person who he is, he just decided that he wanted to help these people, and these people had to come to dialysis for like three times a week. And so he and his friends decided to purchase a ambulance. And that was really how this whole thing started. And they outfitted this ambulance with all kinds of medical equipment, so the people that were able to take care of what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, he saw these people who were coming in for cancer patients, and the parents and the family always was coming in to help them and to stay with them, and they were staying day and night with these people, and it was really you have to stay with a person day and night, you start to fall apart and so forth and so on. So he got eight of his friends to help these people so they can go home and rest. And so that was really how Ezer Mitzion was born.
So it was really just a chesed kind of thing, and it just started piling on itself until I understand now you have, 10,000 volunteers?
We have now from the eight original volunteers, we've grown to about 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
We prepare about 650,000 meals per year.
Wow.
The meals go to families, members staying with people in the hospital who have told the volunteers that these meals are really an emotional support and make a difference during their difficult time. We have other volunteers that deliver to families where the mother is unable to prepare the meals due to illness.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the mother is the mainstay of the family, and when she can't deal with it, when she's diagnosed with, let's say, with cancer, she's emotionally paralyzed.
Sure.
And she can't. And the treatment begins, and she's physically unable to handle her family needs. So these volunteers come regularly, usually about two, three times a week, with hot meals for the family. And they stay with them, and they give them emotional uplift to the family.
So there wasn't any organizations doing this at this time?
There, at that time?
Yeah.
No. Now there's a lot of other organizations who have food kitchens and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, there was really very few organizations that went out of the way to help families.
That's
the thing. We also help people that who are elderly. We help them with the food. They can't go out shopping. We go out shopping for them. We take care of them. We bring them food and so forth and so on.
So how does you describe the extent of your mission? In other words, it's obviously changed over time. Do you just keep taking on new things?
Keep on taking on new things. Every time there's a problem in Israel, we always find some. We find a way to put together, help people. People usually come in through the social workers in Israel.
Uh-huh.
Social workers usually call us and they say, can you help this person do it for this and this problem? And we usually find a way to do it. It would help, and then it just keeps on mushrooming and looming into things that we do.
You can go nuts with this because it seems like you're an open-ended kind of thing where you just keep adding.
That's correct.
Okay, so are you government supported in any way, or is this?
We're government supported. We're government supported, but we're not. Originally, we were. Our budget was subsidized by the government about 45% to 50%. And now we're down because the defense for the Intifada and everything else that we've now down to about 15% to 20%.
15% to 20% from the government and the rest from private sources.
Right, we have to raise our money ourselves. Correct.
So, and you said you, before the interview that you lived in Israel.
Correct.
You're now here permanently.
I'm here permanently. We live in Israel. We go back and forth to Israel.
Okay.
After home here, but we have a home in Israel.
And your primary job?
Raising money for Ezer Mizion.
You're raising money for Ezer Mizion here, but the thing is, you're executive director of Ezer Mizion, or
in the United States?
In the United States. Okay, that's what I want to. Now, with all these things you do, as I understand, you're noted specifically for one thing. And what would you say that would be?
That would be the bone marrow registry.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The bone marrow registry was started about 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And started with 6,000 names and the first year. And there was a little boy who needed a bone marrow transplant, and there was no one to... they went around to the International Bone Marrow Registry and so forth and so on, and we just couldn't find a match for this kid. And so they decided, the parents decided with Ezer Mizion to go around in Israel to do this bone marrow registry. And we got 6,000 people to sign up the first year.
Mm.
And but unfortunately, we didn't find a match for this child. But as within the 6 years, we now have 300,000 names in our database. We've, in the 6 years, we've matched close to 800 people. We've transplanted close to 300 people as of end of this, February.
Okay.
And if you ask why we matched 800 people and we only did transplants for close to 300, it was, you know, people get better. Unfortunately, people die. People.
Sure.
They have different treatments that they take, but we did match 800 people. And if you think that within 6 years, the span of matching 800 people in our database, it's a phenomenal thing.
Yeah.
And also now we've, last year we've had a major breakthrough with the Army, that the Army decided that they wanted to get the DNA for the soldiers, and so we made an agreement with them that they would give us the soldiers, the new recruits, which is about 15,000 every 3 months, and that would add up to about 60,000. But within the 60,000, there's certain criteria that we have to have. Mm-hmm. As far as health concerns, and some of them don't want to be donors. So we have about 40,000 a year that we have, and we got a statistic that since we've done this in a year and a half, we matched already about 18 soldiers have matched as donors and transplant people.
That's excellent. Okay. So, and again, without you doing this, there was no other bone marrow registry.
Well, there's bone marrow registries around the world, but there's a couple of small Jewish bone marrow registries in the United States. But we felt that that we have a bigger Jewish spinotype around the world in Israel. We have all kinds of different people and all the, through it, so you don't have to really do one time like we. If you have it here in the United States, registry you, on people getting their an event going, they might get maybe 500, 600 people. We did a bone marrow search for a kid in Netanya last right before Purim, which we had close to 30,000 people show up to register for our bone marrow registry.
So, with the size and complexity and the diversity of the mission of Ezer Mizion, what would you compare it to in the United States, just to give people an idea of the scope of your size? Do you like a United Way, or how would you compare it to what's in the U.S.?
Well, it could be like the United Way. We have we have 16 major events that we, projects that we do every we work with. We work with people with mentally and physically challenged, children with physically challenged. We work with the elderly. We work with, we're the only organization in the world besides the United States, in the United States and Canada, that we have this a thing called VOCA, which is a voice-activated communication aids, which are people who can't speak, who are from strokes or ALS, or children with MS who can move. We have special computers that they can type in with a finger, or with we're programming it now with an eye that they can work with. They can type these messages that they need to be that they want or they need, and it's great. You know, when the first time I saw it last year when I was there, you saw a little kid who says to his mommy, "I love you." You know, it's like
sure,
it's just tremendous. Gives you chills just even thinking about it all the time.
Oh, I know. Well, anyway, we are running out of time. So, if any of our listeners would like to make a contribution or to help you out, or is there anything else they can do? Maybe they can volunteer. Even
people want to help us here in the United States to raise money to help us with our programs. We're tax deductible. They want to send a contribution. It's to Ezimer Tzion, 1281 49th Street, Brooklyn, New York. And if they like any more information, we have on the website. It's www.ezermizion.org.
Okay, that's E-Z-E-R-M-I-Z-I-O-N, right?
Right.
Okay,
because
they might not have it right, .org. They may not know how to spell that. Okay, very good. And I appreciate you coming on the program today. It's Irv Hackel,
right,
who is the executive director in the United States for Ezermizion, Help from Zion. And hopefully you can have help from some of us, and you continue your good work. Thank you very much for being
Thank
with us.
Thank you so much, Hirsch, and have a Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, and a kosher Frelick and Pesach.
You too. Thank
Take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Feminine Perspective is brought to you each week by Lens Landscaping at 412-372-5215. Lens specializes in shrub and tree care and provides free estimates. Lens says, "I'll treat your land like it was my own." Call Lens at 412-372-5215. And now, here's Devorah DeLynn.
All for the Boss by Rahama Shane is an incredible story of an observant family living in the spiritual wasteland of early America. In the book, she relates an incident in which her father, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, suffers a huge financial loss and is left with only $128 in his account. He thinks to himself, "With such a small amount of money, I must be extra careful to use it well." He calls somebody up and mentions that an anonymous person would like to donate $100 to their cause. This week's Parshios, Parshios Vayakel Pekudei, speak about the building of the Mishkan, the temporary home for Hashem in the desert. When Moshe tells the people that it is time to build a Mishkan, the people respond by opening their hearts and wallets generously. The pasuk says, "Vayavo'u ha'anashim al hanashim," and the men hurried after the women. Since jewelry is mostly owned by women, the verse places them first. They brought their numerous pieces of gold and silver, and the men came after with their rings. This is one of the many places where we learn the incredible mitzvah of giving tzedakah, giving charity. The root of the word is tzedek, righteousness. A person who gives charity is ranked among the most righteous people in the world. The Tzemar Rena puts forth an interesting idea. It says that the charity of women is valued higher than the charity of men. A woman's tzedakah is appreciated immediately. She gives food and drink to a person at her door. A man's tzedakah is usually in the form of money. The person then has to take that money and buy food. His appreciation of the tzedakah takes more time in coming. There is a story of Abba Chalkia, a great man who lived in the times of the Talmud. There had been a long drought, and the sages of the time had come to Abba Chalkia to ask him to pray for rain. He and his wife went upstairs, sat in separate corners, and began pleading with Hashem to have mercy and send the much-needed rain. A cloud gathered first over the corner where his wife was davening. Abba Chalkia concluded that it must have been for the sikkah for tzedakah, since it helps immediately while his tzedakah takes longer to appreciate. The gems that were used in the Mishkan were truly unique, each flawless and more perfect than any other gem in the world. Some sages say that since the verse uses the word Nisim, which sometimes means clouds. They therefore conclude that the gems such as these could only have come from heaven. They fell from the clouds, and the people collected them with the mun. The famous kior, the vessel where the Kohanim, priests, would wash their hands and feet, was made from the copper mirrors of the Jewish women. When the Jews were in Egypt, they saw that their husbands were tired and dispirited when they came home. What would happen to the Jewish nation if no more children would be born? They took copper, beat them into mirrors, and made themselves up beautifully. From these women came the next generation of Jewish children. When they brought these mirrors to Moshe, he didn't want to accept them. How could one use something for holiness when it had originally been made for something as mundane as makeup? Hashem replied that these were among the most precious of gifts, for without them, the Jewish nation would have died out. The mirrors used were donated by the older women. They didn't preen themselves anymore, instead using the time to daven. Today, most of our tzedakah is in the form of money. But tzedakah is more than that. Being charitable towards one another and tolerant of each other can also bring one to the level of righteousness. And more importantly, it's adding peace to the world. Have a good Shabbos.
We got the old tunes, the new tunes, the show tunes, the blue tunes, the greatest music in town. But we never play it!
And you could become a dedicated listener just by logging on to musicalmoish.com and emailing me the favorite thing you like about the show, and we'll play a selection just for you.
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is sponsored by Roladin, where you can get a complete Shabbat dinner for $36.99, which serves four with soup, fish, side orders, challah, and salad. Now accepting orders at 412-521-5555. 412-521-5555. And now, the Jewish Experience Master Storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
When the Hasidic master, known as the Bnei Yisoscher, was 10 years old, his father took a position as a teacher in a distant town. Zvi Elimelech's father spent the duration of the winter in a Jewish-owned inn. In those days, it was normal for a teacher not to see his family from October to April. That winter was particularly bitter. Snowstorms lasted for a week. During one such storm, a knock was heard at the door. The innkeeper opened the door and found three half-frozen Polish peasants requesting a place to stay. He inquired of their ability to pay and found that their combined funds were not enough for even one night's stay. The innkeeper closed the door on them. The teacher was shocked. When he complained to the innkeeper merely shrugged and responded, "Do you want to undertake their expenses?" Much to the innkeeper's surprise, the teacher agreed. The peasants thanked their benefactor and proceeded to enjoy themselves at his expense. That storm was particularly brutal, and the peasants remained in the inn for 2 weeks. After the snow cleared enough for passage, they thanked the teacher profusely and left. Pesach approached, and the Bnei Yisoscher's father went to settle his account. The innkeeper figured he owed the teacher 40 rubles for teaching his children, but the teacher owed him 43 rubles for taking care of the peasants. The innkeeper wished him a happy Pesach and said he could bring the 3 rubles upon his return after Pesach. The teacher did not know what to say. He bid his employer farewell and left. He traveled to his village, but could not bring himself to go home. He stopped in one of the local synagogues, opened a book of the Gemara, and immersed himself in study. In the meantime, his son heard that his father was in town and went looking for him. He found his father in shul. Young Zvi Elimelech ran to his father and with great emotion begged his father to come home. He wanted to show his father his new Pesach shoes and clothes and all the other things Mummy had bought him. This made the father only feel worse, because they were bought on credit with expecting the money to come from his teaching in the winter. As they walked home, a chariot came rumbling through the streets. The streets of that hamlet were very narrow, and pedestrians were forced into alleyways to avoid being trampled. As the coach passed by the two, it hit a bump and a parcel fell off the back. The Bnei Yisoscher's father picked it up and began running after the coach, but was unable to get the coachman's attention. The coach turned a corner and disappeared. The Bnei Yisoscher's father, seeing no distinguishing marks on the bag, opened it up and saw that it had exactly 43 rubles in it. The night of the Seder, the Bnei Yisoscher was given the job to open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. When he opened the door, he called to his father, "Tati, the coachman is here." There was no one there. The Bnei Yisoscher's father pulled the boy aside and told him that he must promise never to tell anyone this story until the last day of his life. The coachman, who had dropped the money so that they would have what they need for Pesach, was really Eliyahu HaNavi. This story was told by a person who heard it from a student of the Bnei Yisoscher, who heard it directly from the Bnei Yisoscher on his deathbed. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
And as we close out last couple of shows before the holiday of Passover, don't forget to get your kids 3 to 11 registered in Camp Ganya's Roll July 9th, August 17th. You want to do that right away. 412-715-4883, Rabbi Shmuley and Chani Rothman. Meeting of Food Addicts Recovery Anonymous, Sherry Torah, Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30. Call them. Ilana, 412-422-2224. Don't forget to call us if you want your Mazel Tovs on our program, 412-979-5770. Don't wait till it's too late. You'll miss the program. You can send us an email. It'll be quicker, jewishexperience@verizon.net, and we'll get it on there for you. It is a complimentary service of the program. And I want to thank our special guest, Irv Hackel, Executive Director of Ezer Mitzion. That's Israel's largest nonprofit service agency helping thousands in the Holy Land, and they could use your help and volunteer and also your support. And also want to thank our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Schulman, Mr. Vord Lintz, and as always, our faithful and consistently exciting engineer, Jeremiah Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time no later than 7:09 p.m. It's been a ton of fun, but you know what? I'm done. I'll see you next week. Till next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.
Shalom.
Shabbat.